All right. Let's pray. Christy, you pray for us and open the service if you would, brother.
This day, your goodness, Lord, your patience, perseverance with us, Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We'll never get over the day that you saved each of us, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord, as well. Guide me this in the service tonight. Bless the preacher as he leads and teaches us from your word. Just give him, Lord, all that he needs this evening, Lord. Take any worries, stresses that would interfere with this trail of thought, Lord. I just pray that you clear the next of his mind from all but your word this night. Lord, be with those that couldn't be here. Watch over them that are second down cast. Steve and Pat, especially, Lord, for Leonard and Carolyn, for Nana, Lord, for Christine, for Will, Lord, for comfort there for the Ritchie family as well. Comfort for Nana, too. Watch over Frank and London, Lord. Be with Lynn and Dr. Shank, too, here. Lord, just help those that we know that have stepped away, Lord, and just continue to walk away from your grace and from your mercy. Pray, Lord, for the salvation of our lost friends and family. Help our missionaries at this time, Lord, provide their needs too. Watch over Israel, Lord, and protect her. Lord, and just accomplish your will with the world and country's leaders at this time too, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. We're going to begin with 41 this evening. If you'd like to take your hymn books and turn there. In fact, we're going to begin by me getting a pair of glasses on so I can actually see what's written on the page. You know what? Never mock people. When Brother Neil used to come, he'd be out at Bible studies, and he'd be saying, I forgot my reading glasses, and we used to think, laugh at the old fella for needing his reading glasses. I don't have them, I don't see a thing. Amen. 41. Yeah, and then Brother Neil said, you know what? Someday, young fella, it'll be like someone flicked a switch. And then you'll need reading glasses and you'll need distance glasses and this, that, and that. You know what? Bet he's having a good chuckle to himself right now. Hymn number 41, in the Sweet By and By.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet.
Machine just played what I was thinking. There should be a fourth verse to that. Amen. Right, just for a wee change, you're number one, how great thou art. Amen. Let's, if you're able, we'll stand and we'll sing that. How great thou art. Bring us the reading, brother, if you would.
A reading this evening is from John First John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us, not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear that we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that we heard from the beginning, and we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brother, the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso say, this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For it is our heart condemn us. God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Amen.
Thank you, Norman, and thank you to Steve as well for his suggestion for the Bible reading. Just want to bring to your attention, this is very important this evening. Make sure you have one of those wee prayer lists and you call out the names of everybody that's on that. I just want to draw a few to your attention. I know they're all there. But sometimes they sort of slip away from us whenever we're thinking on other things. So please do pray for Dr. Yang and Frank and Dr. Shang. I think they're still staying away from everybody. And pray that they're able to join us again. And their friend Joanne, who I haven't heard actually whether she's had her baby. So please do pray for Joanne. Was actually here a few times, I think especially around Christmas time, and we had her for we didn't have her for lunch, but we invited her up for lunch a couple of times. She is over and expecting a child, and if she hasn't had the baby already, it'll be very, very soon. So please do pray about that if you would. I would ask the church to just say a wee word of prayer for my shoulder. It is really bothering me the past month, and I don't really want to go into hospital for anything, because almost certainly you'll be found that you have something, and then you'll not be allowed out anywhere, and you'll have the PSNI knocking on your door wondering, are you in or are you out and about? And you know how that works. So please do pray about that. I know Carol has a lot of trouble with her arms, so please do pray for her as well, if you would. Please do remember Steve at this time for his foot and his legs, still giving him a lot of trouble, and for his chest, his breathing's not good either. Please do be much in prayer for him, even just as his name comes to your mind. Now, I know this, it sounds like a bit of a shopping list, and maybe it is, but all this stuff is on the prayer list. We haven't just mentioned it very much the past wee while. Continue to pray about the purchase of the church land and the charity commission. As far as I know, and I'll have to poke them again just to see where they're at, see if we are good to go or whatever the story is. The last I heard, they were dealing with a court case. So I know there's only a handful of people that are actually involved in the Charity Commission in Northern Ireland, so something like that I'm sure is keeping them all busy. Please do pray about that. And as well as that, the CD ministry, Facebook, internet, whatever you want to call it, that still goes ahead. And all the folks on the Maboy Road here, they all get, except for one guy, I must actually see about that. They all get They all get a CD, and we pray for them. And we want for them to be saved and to be doing right. So please do pray about them, especially for Stephen and Anne Marie next door. His wife's husband is not very well. Please do pray about him. Of course, we do need to remember America. This day next week, America could have a new president, which might not be so good for America, but they will have a president for another 4 years. Please do pray about them, and please do pray about our own country, because things that happen in America tend to happen here shortly afterwards. So please do bear that in mind. Again, all of these things are here, and we are commanded to pray for the peace of Israel. Don't forget to pray about that and to be ready to stick up for the Jews. If you ever have an occasion to, take the opportunity to fight their corner. Amen. I think that's about that. Are there any, is anybody any private prayer requests that they want to make known? Mrs. Bradfield and me and Will, who isn't here. Please do remember that. The Lord knows what they are. But please, please take time, should you even just read these out in prayer. Lord, would you look after Christy and Taylor and help him with his thesis and his job and with Travis. Even if you pray about that and call those names out, that is sufficient. And then if you're just wondering what all that's about, ask Christy about it so you can fill in some of the details. And he will fill in some of the details for you. Please do pray about that. All right. Is there anything else we need to add to our prayer list? Don't forget young Stephen. He's getting work done at the house. And he says he's looking forward to coming back. So please do pray about that, if you would. I think that's about that. Nothing else? Nothing else. Okie doke. I'm not going to remember all those things, and I'm going to try and pray about them with my eyes closed. So let's close our eyes and pray. And if you can think of something else, it's not a sin, you know. If some one person's praying for you to be praying about something else, God's got enough ears to hear every single individual prayer. So let's pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you now for this opportunity to come before you. We thank you, Lord, for Norman and Christy, for Carol and John, for Monica and myself, for the desire and the ability to be here this evening. We also thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters that are just not able to be here, especially I'm thinking, Lord, and Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang, for Pat and Steve, for Esther, for Leonard, Lord, and we miss too Will and Christine. Miss all those that have been and gone, Lord, and we miss those that have slipped and slid. And I pray you, Father, please, that you would put your good hand upon all your children. Think especially on Stan and Karen, and the work up in Bangor, for Jade, for Mark, for Jeremiah, for Samuel and Faith, Stuart and Jennifer, and wee Hannah, Stuart and Iola, and that other young fellow there that Mark invited along. Please save his soul if he's not saved already. Bless that work up there and speak to Brother Stan and inspire him as the days go on. I pray that for every preacher, Lord. For Francis Cosgrave, for Pastor Asquith, for Pastor Hain, for Pastor Seeley, for those that for Pastor Bissett as well, Lord, and for the many other men that are standing up to be counted day in and day out, please, Lord, put your good hand upon these men and their families and protect them, Lord. And make sure they know the areas of their lives that need to be shored up. For those that have been and gone here too, Lord, for Pastor Fox and Randall, for the Kennedys, the Snowds, for the Smiths, pray especially too for James Wilson across the town and for the men in the town that are tasked with tending to souls that don't yet that know you as Saviour and don't yet know you as Saviour. Please save souls, Lord. And I pray you for our hometown. Please, Lord, bring to the attention of the souls in this town, when they see everything else has failed, the memory of a gospel tract, or even the actual gospel tract itself, or a John and Romans, Lord, or the old family Bible. And whenever they take it down, Lord, or lift it out of a cupboard, that you would open it at a place that will really speak to them. Please, Lord. Pray you too, Father, for the Christian Institute and Kids for Schools. Look after these organizations. Look after, Lord, and convict greatly the leaders of our country. I think especially on Arlene Foster. And I can't remember his name right now. I can see his face. Boris Johnson, there you go. And I pray especially for America at this time too, Lord. Please, I pray you put your good hand upon everybody in that country. And really, Lord, convict of sin and judgment to come. Thank you for loving us, Lord. I thank you for the Bible reading, for the prayers so far. Thank you for each soul that's here, for the families that are represented here, for our absent friends, our online ministry, Lord. I think especially on Pearl at this time, Alan Leslie, for wee Kate Cairns, Lord. Please watch over and keep her and comfort her. Please save her soul. For Sally, for Noel and Norman and Joan, Terence McLaughlin, for Carol and Harry and Marie, for Jane and Corey, Lord, for Stephen and Anne-Marie, and especially for her dad, for Henry and Evelyn, Lord, for Eddie and Anne, and for their wee grandson, Mason. Lord, you know our families and our friends that really need to know you. Pray you, Lord, that you would take and use us, each and every one, to point souls to the foot of the cross, whether they're blood or not. But for especially we pray for the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sins. Bless us now, Father, I pray you. Be with us for the rest of the service. And Lord, I just pray that the songs and the prayers and the reading and the teaching and preaching would be acceptable in your sight. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen. 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 All right, take your hymn books again. I was going to say, turn to one of those songs we picked, but I'll even give you the number. Hymn number 119, Till the Storm Passes By. It's quite interesting whenever I look at this. This will probably only apply to Christy or mean something to Christy, but there's a number in the hymn book and there's a number for the machine. And The title for this one is Till the Storm Passes By, and it says 365. So every single day of the year, we're singing Till the Storm Passes By in Northern Ireland. Anyway, it's just a wee thought. Amen. The things that go through your head. We'll sing that 100, I think it's 32, at the end of the service. But in the meantime, if you'd like to put your hymn books away for a little bit and take your Bibles out and turn to Matthew 6 with me, that is where we will be reading from this evening. Matthew chapter 6, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. In fact, just the next book to Malachi, where we have been, I think it was last Wednesday and last Sunday. So we're not that far off of Malachi, only five chapters off of where we were. We're in Matthew chapter 6, and you know what? We're just going to read the first 15 verses of this portion of God's Word. Matthew chapter 6. These are the actual quoted words of Jesus Christ himself. These are things that Jesus said. Take heed that you do not your alms before men or your good works before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, Do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen. That's our reading. We're going to take all of that as our text today. I want to spend a little while, a few minutes this evening, on the subject of there's more. There's more to prayer. Let's have another word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Christy, would you lead us, please, again, if you would.
Lord, we come to you this hour, Lord, we ask your hand upon the preacher, Lord. Thank you in advance for the message that he's about to speak, for what you've laid in his heart, guide him. Lord, lead him, give boldness, we pray, wisdom from heaven, Lord, that when you can give, we pray that the Spirit will be Lord, present in each heart and mind, and on each eyes and on each ears here, Lord. That eyes will be open, ears will be open, Lord, that you would receive your word like you would have us, Lord, please. Accomplish your will amongst us tonight, Lord. Just feed your sheep, Lord. Strengthen the church, Lord. Show the light to those that are in darkness. Save the lost, we pray. We love and need you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, brother. All right. A bunch of stuff in there, but I think the most important portions of this, and maybe the verses that we could take as our text, is verse number 7 and 8. And of course, we can have a look at the model prayer, which we will do very briefly. But these are the words from Jesus now. And I want for you to remember, God said this. And God is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when he spoke this to the disciples, to all of his followers, and to the apostles, he meant it. And he still means it today. He says, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions. Don't just say an old prayer that you trot out every time and think that God's going to actually pay any attention to it. God isn't a computer program that you press the button on and the same thing happens all the time. He's not a vending machine where you put a dollar in and you press a dollar, a pound in, and you press the button and a bottle of Coke falls out. God is three persons, one God. And he says, don't just trot the same old tat out time and time again and think that God's going to hear it, that your job is done. You praying is not for God, it's for you. Could you see a spouse speaking to their spouse and all that they ever did was repeat their I do's? Said the same thing over and over again. First thing they said to each other as the spouse is, I do. Can you imagine every time they met in their house afterwards, they get up and they come out of the bathroom, I do? You think that's pretty stupid. They just say the same two words all the time. How do you think God thinks? Or how do you think God feels when these churches with hundreds of people say the same old tat time and time again? My goodness, I even went to a funeral. Every single word in this church of, this Episcopal church funeral was read from a piece of paper. As I was driving home outside the graveyard, I actually found one of the ministers had dropped their book, and the whole thing is a script, and it's the same for one funeral as it is for another, and there is nothing personal and nothing real about it at all. Anyway, do you know what a model is? A model is a little non-working version of the real thing. And there's a reason the Lord's Prayer is called the model prayer. It gives you of an idea what the real thing is like, but it's not the real thing. Otherwise, I could fly to the moon with half of the models I have sitting in my in boxes and sitting in wee plastic cases. I could travel up and down the endless ages of time in the little plastic Doctor Who TARDIS that I have sitting on my desk. But they're models. They're not real. This is not a real prayer. And I want to give you a few things. Even for the number of times I've spoken on prayer, I still see something new, and I hope this is a help to you. Okay. As the Lord goes on, he says, look, he says, pray like this. Don't pray this, but pray like this after this manner. First of all, just remember who you're talking to. You're not talking to your best mate. You're not talking to a subordinate in work. You are begging the attention of the creator of the universe and the savior of anybody that will call upon. So bear that in mind. Heavenly Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Alright. A holy, heavenly, a thrice holy, heavenly Father that loves you, that gave a son for you, who paid for all of your sins, and every moment of every day has his ears open to any word that comes out of your mouth for him. So bear that in mind. Goes on to say, thy kingdom come. We're supposed to pray for Jesus Christ to come back. We're supposed to want this whole world to be like it is in Revelation 20. When God rules from Jerusalem for 1,000 years and everybody gets a fair shake. But you know what? We're supposed to do our bit. Thy kingdom come. We're not just supposed to talk about it. We're supposed to do a bit about it. And that means to make sure that God's kingdom is helped along by the things that you say and do, the places you go, the people you meet, the clothes that you wear. You bring a little bit of God's kingdom with you wherever you go. So make sure that you do. Behave like a Christian. Excuse me. And we are supposed to want the day when God's will is done on this earth, just like it is in heaven right now. I know for a Christian, for someone that's honest to goodness saved, whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, whose sins were washed away by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we should be crying for that. Remember, like all the times we've read in the Old Testament how the children of Israel cried out to the Lord and he heard their cries whenever they were for real? We're supposed to be crying out for the return of God, for the time whenever it's like the Garden of Eden again and everybody gets a fair shake and all those dictators and tyrants that are lording it over the rest of the people that they've been entrusted with, they're put on the same level with them. I'm sure a lot of them will probably disappear in the first few years of God's reign, but there you go. We're supposed to want that. We're supposed to cry for his king, for God's kingdom to be here. And you know what? We should be executing that in our own lives. We should be obeying God day by day. Anyway, next bit is give us this day our daily bread. And this is the bit where a lot of people fall down, myself included. Most people think whenever you get your breakfast, your tea, and your breakfast, your lunch, and your tea, and your dinner and your supper, that's 5 square meals a day, isn't it? You're supposed to thank the Lord for that, and that's you. Well, I don't know about you, but I have an electricity bill to pay.
Sometimes it's painful parting with that money. You just think, what have they done for me? And they just demanded 200 quid for the last quarter. And so on. If that's bugging you, pray about it. If it's something that you need day by day, pray about it. Or the telephone bill. Or what other bills are there? The gas bill. The oil bill. Pray about them. Pray about the clothes that you're going to put on. What should I wear today? What would give me the greatest advantage in this world today, whether it's for heat, whether it's for modesty, whether it's to project the right image into some soul that you're going to come across? Lord, what should I wear? I remember the first time Alan Fox preached about, and he was talking about praying about everything, and he said, Lord, what shirt and trousers should I wear? That narrows it down a bit. But what clothes should I wear today? I sat back there and thought, that guy's a fruit loop. Who prays about their clothes? Sometimes I don't even pray about my clothes now, because generally speaking, I'm wearing a shirt and a tie or something equivalent to church. And at the moment, jeans and a fleece. That's just basically my attire. But whenever it comes to church, whenever it comes to funerals, whenever it comes to being an official God's business or going out into the world, I like to double check that I'm setting the right impression. These are all not just our daily bread that we can stuff into our mouth. It's what we do every day, what we need every day. If you were an astronaut, you'd be praying for your daily oxygen. And yes, even the astronauts in the ISS, and those handful of astronauts that are planning to end up on Mars, God's hand is not short. He can reach Mars just as handy as he can reach Northern Ireland. Anyway, it goes on to say, and again, here's another one. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or what does a lot of people like to say? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And I know there's a parable in the Bible there that talks about the great debtor who owed his master 10,000 talents and threw him in jail, and he was about to have him, who knows, executed or sold into slavery. And he said, please forgive me. And he forgives him. And he goes out and grabs one of his fellow servants that owes him 300 pence and throws him into jail. And his boss got really angry with him and just called him an ungrateful git and said, I forgive you a fortune. Could you not forgive your fellow servant a tiny sum? Anyway, that's not what I was going to mention. When it comes to getting saved, there's two things have to happen. The first thing is, you have to repent. You have to, I was going to say turn away from your sins, but literally you have to reach into your heart and tear out your sins and leave space in your heart for the Holy Spirit. You have to turn away from, so if your sins are taking you that way, you say, I'm taking a left turn here, and you go, well, maybe a right turn would be better. You go another way, your sins go that way, and the Holy Ghost takes up residence in your heart. You have to be born again. You have to be changing to be forgiven of all your sins and to be saved. You have to want to be saved. Romans chapter 10 sums it up better than I'm stammering through it here this evening. It says, if you confess with your lips the Lord Jesus, if you ask and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's the same thing. That's called repentance of sin and dead works and trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's salvation, right? Now, when it comes to growth, that becomes an ongoing process. Your salvation isn't an ongoing process. You're born again. You're born. You're a child of the King of Kings. But God doesn't want you to remain a crying wean in a nappy all the time. It always needs a pastor to come and to wipe your bum and to put powder on it and to put you in a nice wee baby grow and sing you lullabies until you go to sleep. You might start like that. I know I did. But God doesn't want you to remain like that. And one of the things that we should be doing with our lives is asking God to forgive us when we make a real mess of things. And learning from that and not doing it again. Forgive us our trespasses. There is only forgiveness when there's repentance. We must be willing to grow. That's what this is saying. And not only between God and us, but between us and our brethren. The verses that Norman read there for us. Thank you for that, Norman, and thank you, Steve, for the suggestion. Steve got the easy bit in that deal, by the way. The verse that Norman read, the chapter that Norman read, contained this verse as, you'll know you've passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. Or maybe it was me that read that, but I think there are some verses along that lines in 1 John 3. We should be wanting to set an example to our brothers and sisters. And you know what? It's easy to ask God to forgive you. Because you don't have everybody else watching you. But whenever you have to go to somebody else and say, look, I'm sorry about that. You know the verse in scriptures when it says, Peter said, like, was it Peter said, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. In other words, as long as he is growing, as long as he is doing better, as long as whenever he genuinely does something, and is genuinely sorry for it, and is getting past that, forgive him and help him along. We're not preaching on forgiveness, so we're not going to go into all the nitty-gritty and the details, but we are supposed to grow, and sometimes we are supposed to be the face of God in this world, forgiving someone for a tiny slight, which shouldn't be too big a deal, after God forgives us for breaking one of the most precious things in this world, his law. The thing that sent Jesus Christ to the cross on our behalf was our breaking God's law. And you know what? If God can forgive us that, surely we can forgive somebody if they say the wrong word to us, or if they do the wrong thing on us, if they really... I'll give you a funny example. Previous church that Monica was going to before she realized that Bethel was the best place in the world to come to, with the most handsomest preacher. She was talking to a lady and her daughter, and the lady and her daughter were giving off about Americans. Those Americans, they were so ignorant or whatever it was they were, and the daughter was getting embarrassed, and I think she was maybe nudging her mother, or maybe I'm adding something for Hollywood, I'm Hollywoodizing, but the lady came back to Monica at the next church service and said, I'm really, really sorry. I didn't realize that you were American. And like, you can't mistake, my wife has an American accent. And I love that about her. You can't mistake that she's American. She doesn't wear the stars and stripes everywhere she goes, but she has an American accent. She didn't take offense, but she forgave the lady. And the lady realized. We need to be ready to grow towards God, but we also have to be ready to be the face of God whenever it comes to forgiving others and letting others see what God can do through us. We need to be ready to grow and forgive. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Do you know what? That is going to be a lifelong work. Until we stand in glory, we are going to need God's help with all of the things that come our way that would distract us and shipwreck us. We're going to need it. If we learn and grow, if we get ready to forgive, a lot of those things are not going to bother us. We'll get past them, but we need to be ready to grow. Anyway, do you know what? It's 8 o'clock, and I haven't even gotten into the main part of the message. Let me just see where we're at right now. Oh, goodness. I am thinking I'll go to the closing, and I will come back and just make this a two-parter.
And because there is so much more to prayer than just telling God what we want. We have, you know what, we'll go on for another 10 or 15 minutes. It's our lines of communication to God. That's how we speak to God. That's how we communicate with God. Not just for salvation, not just praying the salvation prayer, because let's be honest, if a bunch of people are just saying, say this prayer and you'll be right with God. And a lot of people are saying that prayer and are not right with God. They think the saying of the words is that makes the difference, but it's the believing in the heart. It's for every single thing, every portion of every day, we should be talking to God day in and day out. It's just like meeting people. If every time someone met you, you said the same four words, and they would say, well, how are you today? And you just said, doing rightly, thanks. Three words, doing rightly, thanks. And on you go. And every time they asked you a question, you said, doing rightly, thanks. Doing rightly, thanks. When's your birthday? Doing rightly, thanks. You would think you were a bit of a nut job. You speak to people after they ask you questions and you tell them things that are of interest to you. And people do the same back again. It's a two-way street. And a lot of prayers will maybe start with, dear loving Heavenly Father, or our Father which art in heaven. A lot of our prayers might start like that. And a lot of our prayers might end with, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. But in between, you can have any filling you like. It doesn't just have to be butter. It can be butter and jam. It can be mayonnaise and chicken. It can be ham. It can be pork. It can be beef. There can be tomatoes, lettuce, cucumbers. Everything in your life can go in between those two sentences. Dear loving Heavenly Father. I want to talk about my kids, I want to talk about my mom, I want to talk about my friends, I want to talk about my countrymen, I want to talk about my work, I want to talk about the car, I want to talk about the church, and that's fine. God says every single thing that comes to your mind, talk about it. It's not just for salvation. That's probably the first prayer that God will ever answer his soul. Lord, help me. I'm lost and I need help. And God will start working in that person's life. But then the day comes and they say, save me. And he'll save you. That's the promise of God. If you call to God, he's not going to kick you out. He's not going to reject you. He's not going to let you go. These are the promises of God. Paul said in the book of Romans in verses that I really love, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Our first prayer. Our first words to God. And after this, the Lord said, pray about everything. And we've already mentioned that. Philippians 4 and 6 were great verses for me and have been a great help to me. Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Now, you know what that means? Talking to God, prayer. Supplication is begging God, not demanding of God. You can keep your fists clenched like that. You're not going to get very far. But if you clench them together and beg God, that's what supplication is. And thanksgiving, when he answers your prayers, he said, let your requests be made known unto God. And he said a strange thing will happen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. All of a sudden, the things that people spend fortunes and entire lifetimes looking for are yours for free when you unburden yourself to the man that gave his life on the cross for us. Sometimes it just takes the weight off of our shoulders, the burdens that we've been carrying alone. Lord, I need help with this. And have you ever been banging your head against a brick wall trying to solve a problem, and you go and you have your dinner? I remember Christy will not mind me mentioning, but he said he was having a dream one time where a solution to a program came to him. Thought, I'm way off to bed, and he dreamed the solution. I've been standing in the shower, not thinking about anything to do with work, just wondering which arm to scrub. I think, that's the answer.
God does that. If your mind is ready to listen to him, God will lend a hand and give you solutions. I know for a fact that Norman has had quite a few of those of late in times of need, that God has just put his internet browser to the right place and shown him the solution to his problems. Anyway, have you ever had just that problem that you can't put your finger on? Something that's just upsetting the apple cart for, something that's just throwing you off your game a bit. And God even has that covered. For the stuff that you know about that you think that's bothering you, but also for the stuff that you don't know about that might be bothering you. And that's in Romans 8 as well. It says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that can't be uttered. In other words, that same Holy Spirit that God installed in your heart on the day that you were saved is working for you. He is fighting your corner. The things that, if you say, I know this sounds simple, but it's all the things, Lord, I don't know what's bugging me. Would you help me? And the Holy Spirit will be ready to deliver a request to God on your behalf, and you will get an answer, even if it's only, how's about growing a bit of patience there? You will get, it's written in blood, preserved in blood, for you and me. I don't know if anyone remembers what it was like just to be saved, when everything became new, when life had that new car smell. You know that smell when you step into a car and you smell all the polish and the new fabric and the thing looks lovely. And that's just the way life is after you get saved. At least I found that. But you know what? The world, the flesh and the devil will creep back in there if you don't make a point of kicking it out. If you don't make a point of filling your life with good things, spiritual weeds will creep in. It is a battle. Ask any gardener. Especially on days like that there, where they're down on their hands and knees in the cold and the damp, and when they go to get up, and the back creaks a bit, and the knees creak a bit, it's a battle. But it's a similar battle for you and I. And you need to remember, just like it says, 2 Corinthians 10, even though we walk in the flesh, we're alive, we're body, spirit and soul. We have a body that moves through this life. It says we don't war after the flesh. Our battle is not punching people's lights out, even though I am sure we're tempted many times. Verse 4 says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Right? It's not a right hook. It's not a knife in the guts or a bullet to the head. Again, even though we feel like it sometimes. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. How do we get our hands on those? Well, we pray. And we exercise ourselves unto godliness. And how do we do that? We take time to get out to church. We take time to get down on our hands and knees. We take time to read and write the word of God, to commit it to our hearts, so that it wants to come out of our lips and our hands and the places that we go. They're mighty through God. Because your enemies might be sitting around a table in a pub with every one of them with at least one pint in front of them and half a dozen down them, and they might be cursing you up and down and telling each other how awful you are. When you just get down on your hands and knees and say, Lord, you see all those people that are saying how awful I am. Would you really, really work on their hearts and minds and see them saved? And you watch things start to happen. Even when it comes to the next time you meet them and they hate you and the froth is on their mouths and you say, what about you? And you heap coals of fire upon their heads. It goes on to say, weapons of warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
That's the battleground. And there is no better way of organizing your thoughts than bringing them before God in prayer. The devil might not come with the hordes of hell, stinking of sulfur, pointy tails, horns and heads, and little pitchforks. He might come as a comfortable bed with a really warm quilt and you just enjoying the best sleep that you have had all week on a Saturday night and a Sunday morning. When you fix your heart and mind on God, there is no better way to spend time than in His presence. And that's half the battle. Time in God's presence will help you for the time that you're not in God's presence. But you know what? It's just not about us as well. And I'm going to finish with this point and then we'll close. We did mention a bunch of lost people, but if you look on the wee prayer list, you will see that there are a list of names beside all of the folks in the church that have offered us the names of loved ones and friends that don't yet know the Lord as Savior. Because lost souls need to be saved, and they're saved souls that need help too, just like we do. Comfort, strength, wisdom, support, provision, I don't know. Just a friendly word. I want to give you an example of a man that loved people so very, very much, and it's in Job. Job 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil, in other words, stayed away from bad things. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all, for Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. You don't have much to pray about for yourself and your own life, and you're happy with how things are going. Amen. Tell me your secret. But there's definitely other people out there that need you calling out their names. So pray for other people. And I love the verses in 1 Samuel 12, whenever he was talking with Saul, King Saul. "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and cease to pray for you." And do you know what? It is not the names that you bring, or the circumstances that you bring before God. It's the time you spend in God's presence. Remember the effect it had on Moses? It sustained him. It lifted him. It made his face glow. There was something different about him. Put the fear of God into everybody that saw him. And you know what? That wouldn't be a bad thing in these dark days. We need to pray for others. It's called intercessory prayer. For their sicknesses, for their things they need to accomplish, for their comfort, for their peace of mind, for all the people that we have not seen for weeks, for months even. They need to be borne up in prayer and not forgotten about. They are still members of this church. They are still brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are going to be seeing them for the endless ages of eternity. They need to be prayed for, as well as those that don't love us, as well as those that stick the knife in and twist it. We need to pray for them all. You know what? I'm saying this for the example, right? But I pray for eBay. Not for the whole of eBay and the success of the whole of eBay. I pray for my bit of eBay. And God has been very good. And He has sold stuff. I actually put an empty box on eBay and got 20 quid for it. Yep, people will buy anything on eBay. It was an ice box. It was a sturdy box of a game that's quite popular. And ice for the crack. I put 20 quid, put it on eBay, and I've sold 3 of them. That's 60 quid. That's what God can do. God can work miracles. And he can put a smile on your face while he does it. Pray about it all. You might think God's not interested. He is. You moms and dads that are out there, your kids, whenever they came with their activities, with their wee drawings and the things that they love to do, and say, Mummy, Daddy, look, what do? You sit down in the muck with them or in the sand pit, or you sit down at the table with them and you look at the scribble lines, especially the one that's supposed to be you, and say, that's really good. You just keep practicing. Is that not what you say to your kids? You encourage them. You give them your time, your presence. And that really does something for kids. Did you know? They have almost quantified it or measured it. Little children need, I think, was it 5 or 10 instances of close contact in the day? That's what little children need. I can even see that in my cats. I don't have children, I have cats. And they are always more friendly to you when you take time with them. And that's it. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to learn and to grow. He wants to take time with us. He wants to encourage you to do right things and discourage you from doing the wrong things. Take it to God in prayer. Even now, as I preach, I am praying that these words are finding a space in your hearts or in the hearts of souls that are listening to this on CD or on the internet, that it will be a help. I'm going to finish with a couple of verses from 1 Thessalonians, and then we'll sing a song, and we'll try and squeeze this into 120 minutes. No, 1 hour and 20 minutes, sorry, that's 40 minutes shorter. 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, that of us. Quench not the spirit, in other words, listen to God. Despise not prophesying, in other words, whenever I preach that, you're going, oh, I ever shut up. You're not supposed to say that, even though you might feel it. And prove all things. And whenever good things come along, that is good habits, good places, good people, stick with them. You will find every single thing you need to keep going in this life when you seek out the Lord in prayer and just give him everything. Be much in prayer. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Appreciate your attention, folks. Our last song of the evening is 132. We're going to do our best to have another practice at this. This is for Sister Christine Ritchie. She likes this one. Yep, I do now, thank you. So let's stand as we sing, Never, Never Alone. I've seen the lightning flashing and heard the thunder roll. I've felt sense breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of Jesus telling me still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, no, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone, no.
never to leave me, never to leave me alone. The world's fierce winds are blowing, temptations are sharp and keen. I feel a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when earthly friends are gone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. When in affliction's valley I'm treading the road of care, my Savior helps me to carry my cross when heavy to bear. My feet entangled with briars, ready to cast me down. My Savior whispered His promise, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. He died for me on the mountain, for me that pierced His side. For me He opened that fountain, the crimson cleansing tide. For me He waited in glory, seated upon His throne. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, no, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, no, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone.
Amen. Thank you again for your good time and attention. I hope that last 15 or 20 minutes weren't too traumatic when we went from a half-hour message to a 45-minute message. God bless you and see you safely home. Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you. Thank you for our time together and the time in your presence, for your word, most of all for your Son, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, for a loving ear and a watchful eye. Please look after our brothers and sisters wherever they are. Please deliver our needs each day. We pray, Lord, that, oh Lord, you know the things that we need. Help us remember to keep our eyes upon you. Be mindful of the things that you want for us to do. And Lord, we're just glad that we've got an open invitation to come before you at any time. Bless us as we part company. See us safely home. And Lord, just convict us daily of what you need for us to do. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and your good hand upon those that would love to be here tonight. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Thank you again for your good time. Shake hands, or touch elbows and tiptoes.